The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Now, there are many effects and consequences of drug use and drug dealing, but something we're hearing more about due to the severity of what can happen is drug-related intimidation, families' homes being targeted, farmers selling cattle to pay off their drug debts. Our reporter Josh Crosby has been looking into this, both urban and rural areas involved. He joins us now. How bad is this, Josh?
Hey, Shane. Well, look, I suppose since the beginning of time, if someone borrows, builds up debt, then the dealer, the lender, will come looking for their payment. But when we're talking about an illegal market like the drug business, the ways and means of how this money is collected is becoming much more vicious in the forms of intimidation and punishment. There have been more than 2,500 reports of drug-related intimidation since 2021, including over 150 arson attacks. So I suppose with more people using, more people are getting into debt and more families are being intimidated. I met with one mother whose son had a cocaine addiction and totally ended up owing around €12,000. She told me her son got groomed into a gang when he was around 16. As the family at the time was going through a close bereavement, he was given the attention, the expensive clothes by the gang, and that's how it all started.
His choice of drug at the time would have been cocaine. Yeah, he got really deep into it and they asked him to start selling the drugs, selling cocaine and giving it to friends of his and other people and that. So got to the stage, he owed a lot of money out, and I'm talking probably 10 grand or more. He was trying to get the money back to them, but his own addiction was taking over.
So how did the intimidation start then?
The intimidation started that they obviously found out where we lived and they came to our door. There was about 8 or 10 people at the door. And yeah, they were quite aggressive. They said they were going to actually hurt our son if we didn't pay up the money. They hurt one of our grandchildren. They were able to describe actually one of our grandchildren, which was a bit scary because we didn't know them. And they were covered up. They told us if we didn't have €7,000 by the next morning, I think it was about 8 o'clock the next morning we were to have it, or 9 or something like that. They were coming back. They were coming back. And even if our son wasn't there, that one of our family members and our home was going to be smashed up. So the anxiety was massive. And I had grandchildren in the house, you know, and one of my grandchildren, she has autism and something else. And, you know, he was greeting them, thinking they were lovely people at the door.
But that must be frightening then, when you're alone in the house or going to bed at night. Like, that stays with you, I'm sure.
It was horrific, because that night, all I'd done was locked doors, locked windows, pulled blinds, terrified that anyone was going to get in. I had a chair up against the door. I've never had to live like that, so it was, I didn't know what we were doing.
And you're probably looking at the clock then, thinking you have a deadline here, or you've only so many hours.
Definitely. It was like, in my head, to be honest, I won't lie, I was like, where will I get the money from?
Really, were they looking for your son? If it wasn't the money, they wanted to locate him.
I didn't know too much about who they were. And when I did eventually get my son, because he wasn't living in the house, he said, these are people that are going to hurt me, hurt family. They did get a hold of him. They got a hold of my son, and they've hospitalised him about 3 or 4 times. And he died twice. I was even going to sell up, to be honest. I was going to sell my house. I have a beautiful home. Sorry.
Don't be sorry at all. Take your time.
Like, I am a good person, so is my family. And we, like, we're working class people, and we want to, you know, we help out in our community, and we do things, and as I said, I have a beautiful home because I don't drink and smoke. That's my little joy. And these people were coming in to smash up my children and my home. And it was like, what am I going to do here? He told me if I go to the guards that my son was dead, you know, or one of my children or grandchildren, one of my other children.
Wow, that is genuinely frightening and shocking testimony. Just one victim affected by drug-related intimidation. They're living in the east of the country, but Josh, you also looked into how this is impacting families in rural Ireland.
I did, Shane. So former Galway hurler Justin Campbell is now an addiction counsellor. He works with many clients who come from rural backgrounds. He's been involved with GA clubs and their health and wellbeing programmes. And he explained to me that the dealer will come and take whatever they can, or force someone who's in addiction into selling their property, their livelihood, it could be the farm, their animals, to source money to feed their addiction. Justin says many families, they won't be aware of why the person affected is selling their assets.
It doesn't matter what age group now, people in their 50s, late 50s with difficulty with cocaine use.
We know cocaine doesn't discriminate when it comes to demographics. There's certainly no urban-rural divide there either.
No, it used to be always towns and cities that you would identify cocaine use, but every small village now, it's just the availability and the access to it has allowed it. Whether COVID had a sort of an influence on that of people staying at home and house parties and pubs not open may have fueled this.
When it comes to drug deaths and the intimidation that goes along with that, the family farm has always been deeply rooted in lineage and so important to a family. But now the farm is becoming a target as well, as a place where money can be sourced to pay off these debts.
Yeah, and, you know, when somebody is in chronic addiction, there's a huge unwellness inside in the family, I suppose, is the difficult part of it, because there's a huge amount of manipulation involved in it as well. So if somebody owes money, you know, to sell off cattle and the reason and explaining it for some other reason, but actually to pay off debts, you know, parents not knowing the real cause of it, it could be very hidden and very secretive why they're paying it off, but it usually comes out in the wash when they can't afford to pay it and... You know, they're in quicksand then. You know, I was talking to one client recently and he just said, you know, not alone, you know, owned the drug dealer money, but he may have borrowed from all his friends as well. And he's tapped everybody in his circle and he's ran out of money. And that's when he's in serious bother. And I suppose the intimidation then.
You would be aware of farmers having to resort to selling some of their property, selling some of their animals, their machinery to pay off debts?
Yeah, there's all sorts of intimidation going on. I remember a mother taking early retirement to take her payment out to try and pay for her son's debt.
With your own work and your own research and speaking to colleagues working in this space, when drug use is becoming more and more normalised, like, where do you see it going?
Yeah, it's scary because, you know, it looks like, you know, it's part of society and maybe we've crossed over a line where, you know, there's no coming back from this now. So do we accept it? It's a huge question for society and for law and everything else.
Okay, addiction counsellor Justin Campbell there. So Josh, what do families do if they're being targeted over drug-related intimidation?
So Gardaí are appealing to victims to come forward and they're reassuring them that their reports will be handled with confidentiality. Now the DRIVE project, this is drug-related intimidation and violence engagement. It's an inter-agency project. It's funded by the Department of Health and the whole purpose is to provide non-judgmental, confidential support and access to services for people affected by drug-related intimidation. And they will explain to victims what their options are, if they want to go the informal or the formal route, and they'll link them up with protection and support services. Siobhan Maher is the National DRIVE Coordinator. Siobhan says intimidation can come in many different forms.
Shame and stigma have a huge part to play in preventing people coming forward looking for support. They are experiencing huge amounts of fear, huge amounts of stress and anxiety. When they access the support, it makes a huge difference because for the most part, people think that they're alone in dealing with this. And when they come to access support, they're assured that they're not alone.
How does intimidation differ in rural areas compared to urban areas?
Drug-related intimidation manifests itself differently all across the country. In rural areas, we're hearing about farmers having to sell machinery or land or livestock to pay drug debts. It can be a little bit more difficult for people living in rural areas because sometimes the services that will be available in urban areas aren't always readily available.
They're not going to be accessible if you're in a village or a town that doesn't have this type of resource.
It's not as easy. It's not as easy, but it's not impossible.
For people living in rural areas, the gang or the dealer who's seeking the money, they're just using a different source of property.
That's exactly it. Like, I mean, dealers would see where a farmer's wealth is in the land, in the livestock, in the machinery. So yeah, that's why we're hearing that farmers are selling off.
Whereas, can it be a case that in the urban areas, someone who owes money might be tasked with carrying out some jobs?
That also happens in rural areas. Like, we have heard young people as young as 8 being groomed to hold drugs, to sell drugs.
Primary school.
What
would you say to someone listening here now whose son or daughter
is in debt and they are getting threatening texts, they are getting threatening phone calls, and it's getting worse and worse, like, what advice would you have for them?
Reach out, contact Drive, www.driveproject.ie. There is help. You are not alone.
Okay, National Drive Coordinator Siobhan Maher there. I'm really curious, Josh, and I'm sure our listeners are as well. How did it all end from that poor mother we heard from at the start?
Yeah, so they did reach out for support, Shane, which is certainly not an easy decision to make. Like, many, many people will think straight away, how do I pay these people off who are threatening me at my front door? And I can really understand why this would be people's first thought. How do I come up with the money? But this mother told me that through the Drive project, she was given assistance from Gardaí to make her feel safer in her own home. She'll explain here now. The family's also taken other security measures as an extra layer of protection. But we'll finish now with this mother who we heard from at the start, who told me the lasting impact this has had on the whole family.
They put a red alert on my home. So for me, what that means is if anyone come near my door, I've only to dial the number and immediately you're red alert, your home is red alert and you're at the door. Just that alone, I felt safe. And I think the best part for me as well then was going through the family support, just to open my door, to let a bit of air in, you know, or open the window. I wasn't doing that anymore. My whole home changed because I couldn't. I had to keep the rest of the family safe because every time I was at my hall door, I was turning around to see if there's someone coming behind me. So, and so was my children. They were doing the same thing, which was really sad. One of them is a teenager and she was like, what if I'm going to school and someone comes near me? And like, what if? And my other sons were like, what if? So there was that kind of fear.
It wasn't just meeting them at the front door, that this had followed you into the house. And as you said, making their way to school, it just stays with you.
Everything. You're looking behind you all the time because they're capable. They're capable of doing what they're doing, you know. And that's the frightening part. For me, if we hadn't got places like the Drive, that you can pick up that phone, I don't know what I would have done the next day. And that's being honest. My first option was, where are they getting the money from? Who am I going to pay? I'll have to sell my house. Like, all that was running in my head. So to know that I had someone could sit down and go, okay, these are your options. That made a massive difference. It made a massive difference.
How did it eventually stop then?
My son went into a treatment centre abroad. He's so far still abroad in a treatment centre and doing extremely well. So he seems to be, he's away from that at the moment. And hopefully he'll stay away from that. But so far, things are quiet.
Sadly, there are many people out there that are going to continue feeding their addictions and build up debt. But what would you say to a family who find themselves in a similar situation?
I would really genuinely encourage them to contact Drive. I really would. Because you do feel on your own. You don't know. You don't know who to turn to. All you want to do is find out, how do I pay this money to these people? So what I'd say is contact Drive. They will guide you. They'll support you. There's lots of different options for us as families that's going through that. Of course, I'm going to look over my shoulder a bit, but not as bad. Because if I'm anyway anxious or worried, I only need to pick up the phone to the family supports. And they're there to help me. They're there to guide me and a friendly voice at the other end of the phone.
Oh, what a brilliant woman. One mother whose family has been affected by drug-related intimidation. If you have been affected by this and need support, you can contact the Gardaí or the Drive Project.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.